Hello, and welcome to Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
That's sounding weird. Like, you try to repeat me.
I'm trying to, like, pretty much say what you're saying at the same time.
Welcome to the mini-sode episode on Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
Hi.
I'm Rolando.
And I'm Nicole.
What's up, guys? So, we have some breaking news from over the weekend. Hopefully, by the time this episode airs, it's still accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm excited for this news. Are you excited, Nicole?
As excited as I ever am for something like this.
I'm more excited to talk about this topic for a little bit. This is what I'm more excited about than necessarily the news itself. But for those of you who do not know, a lot of outlets like Variety and Hollywood Reporter are reporting that Robert Pattinson will be playing the next Batman following Ben Affleck's departure from the series.
Yeah.
Nicole, thoughts?
I'm just trying to think of all the actors we've seen as Batman. Adam West.
Michael Keaton.
Val Kilmer. George Clooney. Christian Bale.
Ben Affleck.
Robert Pattinson
would be possibly one of them. The other one who's in the running is also Nicholas Holt.
Oh, really?
He's also apparently in the running. I don't know what they're going. I guess they're going real young with his.
Yeah, they
with
are.
His Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Young and skinny.
Yeah.
It's not.
Well, he's going to have like a 20-year contract, so he might as well
That's true. Right. Hopefully, you know, I think Warner Brothers made a mistake by hiring Ben Affleck, who was already in his 50s, late 40s.
They just made a mistake by hiring Ben Affleck, period.
He wasn't bad. The script was bad. Ben Affleck is just Ben Affleck. You know what I mean? But I think he did a better job at being this Bruce Wayne than it was when he was like, let's say Daredevil.
Right. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he's already played a superhero before. Mm-hmm. It was just, I don't think necessarily it was Ben Affleck at fault here as much as it was just Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
He was, I think, what ultimately led to
I definitely think so. He should probably stop.
He did stop.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he
got the clue.
His daughter committed suicide, and now as a result, he just like left the project though.
I hope that's not the Hollywood moguls like forcing him to quit by killing his daughter.
I hope not either. I actually thought the same thing too, though,
mm-hmm.
because it's just like, Snyder was getting so bashed, so it wouldn't be unbelievable to know that like Hollywood
DC, would force him out that way.
Yeah, like they kill his daughter, and they're just like, now we'll kill your wife next if you don't leave this project. What a way to go, right?
Yeah. Wow.
But, yeah.
Hollywood's run by Arkham Asylum, it seems.
Apparently. Oh, I love that you know Arkham Asylum. Look at you.
Listen, I'm not completely ignorant about these things, guys.
But yeah, so any other thoughts, though, on actual Robert Pattinson? I mean, for those of you who don't know, Robert Pattinson is, I guess, best known for being the guy in A Walk with Elephants. Dance with Elephants?
Water for Elephants,
yes.
But I would love to see a movie called A Walk with Elephants. I would love that movie. The iconic role Water for Elephants, yes. His more widely known role in Remember Me, which everyone remembered.
I know. I don't remember that at all. I don't even know what that is. No, obviously, Robert Pattinson is from the Twilight series. He played the vampire.
But more importantly, he was Cedric Diggory in Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Oh, that's right. He died.
Spoiler, if you haven't caught up with your Harry Potter series.
Oh, yeah. If you haven't seen the movies that came out 20 years ago. Sorry, guys.
It wasn't 20 years ago. We're not that old yet.
It's getting there. It's like what?
It was 14 years ago.
Yeah.
It's getting there.
Time's catching up with us, man.
Crazy. My thoughts about it, you know, I'm not one of those people who get overly, like, I feel really strongly about superhero castings.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sort of indifferent on it. I think that I have nothing against Robert Pattinson. I know a lot of people don't like anyone associated with the Twilight series because a lot of people feel, again, really strongly negatively towards Twilight.
I am one of those people who has a very visceral, strong reaction against Twilight.
Well, I have a strong reaction to the girls who like inhaled those books and the impact it had on their consciousness, but it's not the actor's fault.
Oh, actually, that actually seems more appropriate for how I feel than necessarily the movies themselves.
The movies are movies. Of course they were going to happen. Of course Hollywood's going to capitalize, and of course these actors are going to take roles that are going to pay them well and make them famous, you know. I don't have anything against Robert Pattinson, and I think he's an okay actor, and I'm sure he'll do fine.
I haven't seen him in much work, so I can't really say.
Yeah, it's not going to require him to do much though.
What, to be Batman?
Yeah, he's just gonna have to talk like this.
Not necessarily when Christian Bale talked like that.
No, Christian Bale talked like that. Sorry, I can't even talk like that.
Like Alec Baldwin from 30 Rock,
Or you could just go to Michael Keaton. I'm not gonna kill you. Just like talk really subdued.
Michael Keaton's voice actually didn't really have any change.
Not yeah, he talked a little bit more like this.
Maybe. But speaking of Michael Keaton, it's so funny you should bring him up, because I remember from the 80s, I mean, I don't remember, the readings of, like, you know, I'm a big Batman fan, so I love, like, reading, like, behind-the-scenes stuff from the movies and stuff.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of outrage with the fact that Michael Keaton was cast as Bruce Wayne.
There was.
Because, you know, Michael Keaton was a comedian up until, like,
Mr. Multiplicity or Mr. Mom, yeah.
So there was a lot of backlash to his casting, and I think he did a fine job.
Yeah. I wonder, didn't people also were like, Jack Nicholson as the Joker?
That, you know? I don't know. But Jack Nicholson is Jack Nicholson. I highly doubt that. Jack Nicholson?
Nicholson. By this point, he was so famous and rich that he just was himself in every movie.
He also was, like, one of the highest paid actors of all time because of his role as a Joker.
Yes, he
was. Because he took, instead of a paycheck, he took, like, royalties.
Yes.
Yeah, smart. Smart,
really
smart.
Smart. He knew.
Yeah, he knew. He knew.
Yeah. I hope he goes the Adam West route, though, where, you know, Robin, he might talk like this. And then when he's Bruce Wayne, he might still talk like this.
Are you talking Robert Pattinson?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought up Adam West. Okay, so the reason I actually was more excited to talk about this news, maybe not news, we'll know, hopefully by when you listen to this episode, we'll know either for sure or whether or not these are just rumors.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the reason I actually wanted to bring this up is because some time ago, we had gotten an email from a very disgruntled, I guess you could say, listener.
Okay.
Who was very, very much tired of the way Nicole comes down at Christopher Nolan's adaptation of Batman. I'm going to read just a little bit of it because it's a very, very long email and we don't have that much time to record today, unfortunately. But yeah. Let me see.
Can we just do the highlights?
I'm going to see if I can find the highlights real quick. Okay, so this is our listener talking about the Nolan things. Okay. Nolan just had a good idea on how to approach one character. I'll address the issue on how Batman should be adapted in a moment. But he had the idea. The idea ended up working. Hollywood and the execs, however, instead of going, you know what, this worked in this specific instance, but maybe we should really assess what characters kind of take would work on. Does that make sense? I might have butchered that sentence. Sorry, guys. Okay, so basically, I'm not going to read the whole thing.
Okay, what is his gripe?
His gripe is basically how you are always coming down on Christopher Nolan and blaming him for this gritty adaptations that we have as a result because in like Hollywood film.
Yes.
Like everything has, you've talked about this a lot.
Yes.
There's always a Hollywood Nolan gritty remake.
Yeah, I also just don't think Christopher Nolan's a good filmmaker.
Oh, okay. Well, we're not going to get into that today specifically because I would disagree. I think he's a very competent filmmaker.
I would actually completely disagree with that.
He's a very competent filmmaker.
No, he's not.
Oh my god. All right, yeah, we're gonna have to talk about that some other time.
Some other time.
Whenever we cover one of his works. But
yeah,
this specifically is about Batman because I believe what is your beef with Christopher Nolan's Batman?
Okay. Well, I don't like Christopher Nolan as a filmmaker, so that's one major gripe.
So
I think his pacing is terrible. He's not a very good writer. He's too on the nose with his writing, and he doesn't know how to actually tell a story within an appropriate amount of time. It just goes on forever and ever and ever.
Well, is that pre-Batman Begins or post-Batman Begins? Because
I mean, this is
before
just
Batman
every
Begins.
Christopher Nolan movie past Memento.
That's almost all his movies.
Yes, it is.
Memento. Not The Prestige. The Prestige is good. It's a short film.
Oh, no.
Oh, I love that film.
I mean, the worst of them, the pinnacle of awfulness, is the one with Matthew McConaughey, Interstellar. And then I just haven't seen anything since because I was like, I'm never going to waste my life away like this again. But, and I will definitely, if anyone cares or wants to send me a disgruntled email about that, it's like, hey, I'm sorry. I think he's a good filmmaker.
All
right.
I'll be sending you those disgruntled emails.
But I don't think that, I know a little bit about my comic book history. I'm not as well versed as I am in film history, but I think that they took them in a different tone. You know, a great age in comic books, and I think it was the Silver Age. The 40s were the Silver Age, and the Golden Age was the 50s.
I think that sounds right.
I think so.
I wish Eddie was here because he actually would probably be able to correct this.
Yes. Well,
Eddie Z, we miss you.
The thing about, yes, we do. The thing about, no, the Silver and Bronze Ages were the 50s and 60s. So I suppose the Golden Ages were 40s. I might have gotten this mixed up.
Okay.
But the 40s was World War II. The 40s, you know, in this country particularly, were a really cynical time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he took that when Batman first came out was pretty much, I think 1939 was when he debuted. And then he really grew in the 40s. Yeah. And he was very popular. Other than Superman, he was the most popular superhero.
Uh-huh.
Into the 50s, it was too... quote-unquote dark for 1940 standards. And of course, you know, World War II scares and cynicisms were affecting us.
Mm-hmm.
and what that was going into our comic books. And then people thought he was gay.
So that
then,
was part, and that also brings about the code. There was a
comic book code that was just like on cinema.
Right.
You know, all these things had these things that they had to adhere to, these codes.
And there's like a famous scene, I guess, where like Dick, who is Robin, right?
It's Dick Grayson.
Dick Grayson. He wakes up in bed with like Bruce Wayne. Like they were sharing a bed.
Yeah.
I don't, you know. I mean, if you're perverted already, you're going to read into it. If you're a child, I think it's just like, you know. I remember my sister like sleeping in my parents' bed and stuff. And me sometimes right now, like if I have a bad dream, it's not uncommon. And they're fighting crime. Of course he's going to be fucking terrified.
Yeah. I mean, nobody else is going to understand them but each other.
Yeah. So they would share a bed, like, seriously? You know, to help each other through the night.
And they should, yeah. And they should suck dicks. So wow. I also think that. I'm a little sad that they never went there, but I'm glad they hinted at it.
Oh, me too, because everyone knows that Dick Grayson has the best ass out of all of DC comic book heroes. So, you know what? Bruce Wayne should hit that.
He should.
Well, of when he's of age, of course, though.
Yeah.
Specifically. Okay.
Well, so back to that, though. You know, in the 50s, they added Batgirl and Barbara Gordon Batgirl and all that stuff. And they needed to make it lighter because people were complaining too much and the codes were restricting them too much.
The code was definitely being restricted.
And that led to the interpretation, which also was just way too much fun, and wanted to capitalize off of the fun of it all to the adaptation in television and the movies with Adam West in the 60s. And so, you know, timeline wise, when I think about Batman and I think about why Christopher Nolan decided to make that approach, and he also was just like, you know, it's the 2000s and it's like, let's make something completely like unlike anything we've ever seen of Batman, period, or any superhero movie, where they're all kind of campy and more action movies, and let's make them more dramatic. So I understand the intention, and I understand wanting to get back to maybe the 40s feeling of them, but I think that his tone of the movies kind of lacks real emotion. It, just because it looks gritty and it like tries to come off as it, doesn't mean it succeeds.
So that's so I think this is where I disagree with you, and I think probably the guy who wrote the email.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he wasn't harkening back to the 40s Batman. He was actually harkening back to probably the 80s and 90s Batman.
Okay.
Right, because it's around the late 70s where the comic book code itself gets kind of dissolved, and it started, I think, with actually, I want to say it was probably Marvel when they introduced either Tony Stark having a heroin addiction, and it was followed very quickly soon with Green Arrow in DC.
Okay.
Red Arrow himself.
And this is the Alan Moore era of comics.
Yeah, so
right?
This is where we start like introducing actual more gritty realism into comic books, right? Because sales were dwindling and stuff, and you know the comic book code itself was becoming antiquated.
Yes.
So as a result, the industry themselves said, fuck it, we're just going to do our own thing. Because keep in mind, the code itself was self-imposed.
Yes.
All right? It wasn't regulated by the government. It was just like a self-imposed thing. Like the
it was politically correct.
Motion Picture Associated from MPAA. That's regulated by the industry. That's not regulated by the government.
True.
Right. So similar with the comic books here, which is that's a whole nother topic. I have my issues with the MPAA, right? If you haven't seen, I'm going to recommend. It'll be in the show notes.
There's a whole lot of things that we got to get to some other time.
Yeah. But I'm going to put a link to this movie called This Movie Is Not Yet Rated. I recommend this documentary. It's an interesting one that looks at the MPAA and their double standards when it comes, especially to LGBT media representation in media, right? Because like if you have two women kissing, that could generate an R rating over a PG-13, right? So it's problematic.
Ridiculous.
Same thing happened with the comic book code, where itself it was just like there was self-censorship and stuff. So they got rid of it in the 1970s and stuff. As a result, then you start introducing characters into like kind of darker tones.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Nolan's Batman, I would say, is more inspired by the 80s and 90s versions. Like, you know, The Dark Knight Returns, The Long Halloween. These are all like staple Batman stories that came out in the 70s and 80s, possibly 90s, that took Batman into more of a realistic tone, right? I don't think Christopher Nolan, you have mentioned that Christopher Nolan is what his emotional impact in the stories. Is that what you were saying?
Well, I also am a little interested in what you mean realistic tone.
I guess more realistic tone is more like they were kind of introducing flaws into our characters instead of making them like these mythological beings. And you could argue for sure that like X-Men was the one that probably started that off. Spider-Man's another great example of that too, right? He's just a kid trying to figure out like how to deal with all these superpowers, right?
Yeah.
Because DC had this problem with their superheroes where they were all perfect. And I think Batman in the 70s would probably be the first one to start kind of breaking away from that. Green Arrow for sure. But Batman out of the staple superheroes. He was the first one to really kind of break away from that mold where he wasn't like this mythological figure. He was now, they really refer to him being just a regular man who's a detective. And he's a really fucked up past. And this is, it's his past is driving his future. That kind of thing. Trying to introduce like flaws. Trying to introduce like.
That's so funny because I don't really get that from the Christopher Nolan films.
You don't get that. The fact his parents killed and now he's on this quest for not revenge.
I don't get this like turmoil, fucked up man. Like I do get someone who came from, but that's the thing. Like I get his intention.
Uh-huh.
And let's talk about wanting to do something and actually succeeding at doing that thing. I get what Christopher Nolan's trying to do.
Uh-huh.
Does he do it or does he do it well? I don't think so.
That's interesting. I actually think
In the hands of a more comparable, a smarter filmmaker,
uh-huh.
competent filmmaker, uh-huh. to quote you, it would have been the film that we want it to be. And then I probably wouldn't have a problem with all these imitation people who are also going to do it way half-assed than the original.
So that's the... All right, 2 points there. But yeah, but I actually think... I disagree with you. I actually think maybe it's for sure the fandom coming out, but like as someone who loves the Batman stories,
mm-hmm.
and who was a reader of them, not an avid reader. I'm not I don't read all the comics, right? I read like the major novels. But keep in mind, like I come from a generation that was basically inspired by the, like if you ask my generation, like what is your defining Batman? It would actually be the Batman, the animated series, which itself is a darker, literal darker, like, right? Like they paint it on black paper instead of like actual white paper. Oh yeah,
that's probably my favorite Batman.
It is. It's a great Batman. That's the Batman that most of my generation grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, I think that's kind of the Batman that more so Christopher Nolan was also harking back to.
This
kind of Batman.
I think you all are also giving him way more kudos than this man deserves.
Well, I mean,
it's because he has a $20 million budget and he can do all these things and cast Michael Caine in all his movies.
But
doesn't mean he's doing it well.
Yeah. But like he
kind of reminds me of Wes Anderson.
But even like if you look at the filmmaking itself, they didn't rely on much green screening in that movie too. A lot. Yes, they didn't. Actually, if you look at the behind the scenes stuff,
that doesn't convince me of anything.
No. What I'm just saying is just like Christopher Nolan's take on Batman was actually a lot more rooted in reality than the movie actually from the last Batman that we had seen, which was the Batman and Robin with Chris O'Donnell and George Clooney, right?
Oh, Joel Schumacher. Oh, well, compared to Joel Schumacher.
Of course. Actually, I would argue like the Chris O'Donnell as Robin is probably one of the reasons I'm gay too, by the way, guys.
Really?
Yes, come on.
Actually, we talked about this. Nicole Kidman as Chase Meridian in 1995's Batman Forever.
Yes, did we talk about this already?
I think I might have cut it out of a podcast.
Yeah, we might. We gotta like, I can't wait to we do a Batman episode.
Yeah, really, well, actually, guys, should we do a Batman episode? That's a lot of content we would have to
with. Pitching for you guys to listen to is actually I was thinking we do a Joker episode specific only to the Joker.
Ooh, I would love to. Because
the Joker movie is going to come out soon.
So we gotta hear who actually listens to these episodes and see the responses we get. This one we kind of need you guys to vote on this
for sure. Do you want us to do Batman or do you want us to do a Joker episode?
Yes.
I feel like we got off track, but no, my point is I actually like the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. I think he did a great interpretation of Bruce Wayne. I'll give you that maybe Batman himself was flawed because like he kind of relied a little much on action and not like the mystery of like kind of problem solving.
Well, let's also talk purely about cinema compared to all the other adaptations of Bruce Wayne. Then I suppose he was one of the more successful ones, but that's just because he's compared with people who did not do a good job for like ever
before. Despite the fact that I actually like Michael Keaton's portrayal of and Tim Burton's portrayal of Batman.
Yeah, and it's like
except that Batman kills in that one. But keep in mind, like they didn't fucking care in the late 80s. Like,
they didn't know what they were doing.
They just wanted to tell a cool action story, and I think they succeeded in that respect.
Yeah, but when I talk about Christopher Nolan too, I'm talking as a film person who's mm-hmm. looking at a film. I keep in mind all the things that I at least know. I haven't read every single comic book ever,
mm-hmm.
but as a person who's versed in film and just also doesn't think that it's a very good film, that's a part of the reason why. Because now here's a film that looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
Lacks a lot of debt and content within humanity. Like I look at a Christopher Nolan film and I'm like, why do I feel so empty afterwards? Even though people are crying and apparently emotions are happening, I feel empty. And then I see all these imitators and like everyone else is taking after him, just like Zack Snyder, who does the same thing and leaves you even emptier.
Oh,
everyone,
yes,
everyone is universally empty. And like we all agree on that.
Yeah, so actually that's the other point that this email was trying to make though. I think you blame Christopher Nolan, but I don't think Christopher Nolan is the one to blame. I think it's actually the studios.
Oh, you're right.
The studios are 100% the reason to blame why movies and every adaptation today is a dark, gritty adaptation. It's not because of Christopher Nolan's
Batman. They saw the
Batman.
Success of his
They
films,
saw the success. Yeah. Yes, exactly. They saw the success of the Batman series, and they decided just like, we're going to do this.
There's one thing I will say for Christopher Nolan. I think that if he stopped writing his own fucking movies, he has the potential to be a great filmmaker.
Did he write Dunkirk?
I think he's written almost everything he's done. I don't quote me on this. I'm pretty sure he's written with his brother almost all of his scripts. And I think he needs to stop. Somebody, right. It's like somebody who didn't tell George Lucas, hey, these movies, these prequels, they don't work for Star Wars. You're actually going to really alienate a lot of your fans. Nobody told him that. They should have. Somebody tell Christopher Nolan to stop writing and just direct.
Well, when he complains about what you're saying in his email, well, I guess you'll get he'll get the last laugh. He's going to write to us. Hopefully.
Okay, so vote time, guys. We'll probably put something on our Instagram, so please partake in that.
Yes.
But if not, you know, reach out to us on social media or an email and tell us, actually, we really want to hear a Batman episode or we really want to hear a Joker episode.
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram. If you search for remakes, reboots, revivals, you'll mm-hmm. find us. But you can also email us because actually emails is what starts the conversation here. And actually, yes. I'm so glad we got this email. Sorry it took us so long to respond to it, but you know,
we were out fighting crime.
Yeah, the news. Yeah, thank you. The news struck hot right now, so this is the perfect time to, I think, yes. address this email. But yeah, email us. Our email is remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And looking forward to hearing from you guys.
And also, actually, I wanted to say one more thing about that. What you decide and vote will directly influence what we do first. So, and if this goes well, then maybe you guys can have more of a say in what we do in our future.
That's true.
Even though we don't want to give you too much power.
Nah, you know what? Let the listeners decide.
Yes. So please.
At least because that means that we have listeners.
Yes. Well, thank you. Sorry, I have to wrap this up. We got crazy weekends ahead of us. Yes. But we hope that you enjoyed your weekend and are enjoying your Monday while you listen to this.
Yeah, and hopefully you guys have a great week.
All right.
And next week we'll be covering what, Nicole?
Aladdin.
Aladdin. Yeah. So get ready to ride that magic carpet into remakes, reboots, and revivals.
A whole new world.
Thank you.
Remakes.
Much better. All right.
We've never seen a friend like that. All right. Last one. Sorry.
Later, guys.
Bye.